Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government, discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person. On this edition of the Conversation, I'm chatting with Kellen Graves, Employment Engagement Team Supervisor with Public Assistance and Employment Services and the Department of Family Services. And our topic today is economic mobility and workforce development. Kellen, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Joe.
Kind of interesting topic. I'm not quite sure what it means, but I'm looking forward to learning about it. So along that line, what do you mean or what does it mean when we say economic mobility?
Okay, sure, Jim. Economic mobility is basically the ability of a person or a family to improve their economic status. Okay. Through employment, gaining employment.
Okay. Sounds like a mission statement. what does that really mean?
So it's basically taking someone where they're at, and in most cases it's unemployed or underemployed, and providing them with wraparound services to help them move from that state to a point where they are self-sufficient, basically able to take care of their family.
Okay. What do you mean by wraparound services? What does that mean?
It means basically some people need help with housing. That's kind of where they start off. Some people need help with childcare. Other individuals just need a job, need help with their resume. Mm. So again, so those wraparound services, not always just one thing that we're assisting them with.
Okay. Could be a combination of things. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. How did this program within the Department of Family Services start? Do you know the history of this, or has it always been a longstanding need, if you will?
Well, I've actually been with employment and training for over 21 years.
Wow.
So I can tell you
look
that
old.
Well, thank you.
You owe me a little money for that.
After the podcast, we'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so definitely we've been around, been in the community, but we've always been known as the area's best kept secret. Because a lot of employers don't know the services that we offer and job seekers as well. So that's why we've taken initiative and this right here of getting our information out there to the community. So doing a lot of, you know, advertisement, marketing, that's our main campaign for the next, especially 2025, is to focus on getting our services out there to the community so they know about us.
So you've got not only the job seekers, but the job providers. So you're working with both clients, if you will.
Exactly. We have two clients that we serve, the job seekers and also the employers.
Okay. I'm assuming, is it a 50-50 kind of thing? You work with both equally, or is it more that the job seekers need help? I mean, or does seasonal needs affect how the program resources are allocated? Does my question make sense where I'm going?
Yeah. Well, I would say the majority of our work is focused on the employers because the job seekers are already there.
Okay.
It's reaching out to the employers and letting them know the services that we have and the job seekers that we have. These individuals we work with, let's say job seekers, we help them with making sure they're trained. They have a resume ready to go. We've done mock interviewing. So these individuals are ready to go. And it's just basically reaching out to all the employers, letting them know what we have, the talent that we have.
Okay.
So I'd probably say maybe like a 60-40 split, more so on the employers.
Well, 60-40 split then, I think we'll start with the employer side and then we'll make sure we get to the job seekers. So talk to me about employers. If an employer is listening right now, what would you say to them about the benefits of your program and how it can help them?
Well, I can tell you one of the biggest ones is for having job fairs. We actually have several employment centers located all throughout Northern Virginia, and we're able to host job fairs, and we don't charge. That's one of the big things I hear from employers, that there's always a charge or a fee to it when someone's working with them and helping put together a job fair. We put together the flyers, we do the marketing, we cover all of that. The only thing the employer has to do is show up and be ready to hire. So we make that whole process of finding talent easier for them. And like I said, our having employment centers in different locations, we're able to meet the need for most of the employers throughout our region.
So is that, you would say, the biggest benefit that you offer, or are there other things that you offer to job
providers?
So we
also offer, depending on the participant, we are able to offer a reimbursement up to $5,000. That is actually a program called an OJT, which stands for On the Job Training.
Oh, okay.
Where basically, if you hire any of our individuals to come from our programs or any individual that's qualified for our programs, we will pay half of their wages till we reach the cap, which is the $5,000. So an example, let's say an employer is paying $20 an hour. Let's say for the month of January, they paid out $4,000. We will reimburse that employer half of that, which would be $2,000. And we will do that again the following month until we reach that cap of $5,000.
I'm assuming this has to be set up in advance. They just can't hire somebody and do some all the job training and then go to you guys and say, hey.
100%. So the first thing I would tell the employer to do is to reach out to our team, our employer engagement team, and we would start the process with them. So there's a whole contract with it, just basically saying these are the expectations of the job seeker and these are the expectations of the employer. Because we want to make sure that the program is being used for the way it's supposed to be used.
Okay.
And that the funds are being used that way.
So, okay. You mentioned how the program is supposed to be used. So you want to explain that? And how is the program supposed to be used?
So we are expecting this individual to be hired. So when you do an OJT, you are saying that I do want to hire this person.
On the job training.
Exactly. It's not try them out for a little bit and then make a decision on hiring them or not. So the expectation before they start is this person is hired. So they will receive a hire letter. They will be paid as a W-2 employee. So it can't be a private contractor. And then that the person is actually being trained and, you know, that they're not taking someone's position as well.
Mm.
We don't want to be in the business of getting people laid off. So this is you hiring someone to add to your staff. And then after the $5,000 is used, we want you to keep them on for an additional year.
Okay.
So we don't want this to be use the $5,000. Then you go back to tell it and say, oh, can you send me somebody else? This person didn't work out.
So where does this pot of money come from?
So this is federal money that is being used to pay for this. And there is funding constraints, I would say. It's not unlimited. So if first come, first serve basis. So if an employer, you think about hiring, definitely get to me as soon as possible before that money runs out. But it is federal funds.
Okay. Anything else while we're talking about employers looking for job help that we need to make sure we bring out at this point in time?
I would say when we're referring individuals to you, I think the great service that we have is we have a connection with these participants. Mm-hmm. We're not just finding anybody off the street and just sending them over to you. These are individuals that we've, in most cases, been working with, where they received a case manager. There's a relationship that's been built. Resume has been worked on. Job skills, soft skills, all of that stuff has been addressed before we even refer that person over to you. So an employer would feel confident or should feel confident that when you're getting someone from us, a participant, that this person is ready to go. They have the support needed, and they have the talent. They have the skills to do the job.
Any success stories or any things you could think of that maybe could put the employer or business person listening kind of their mind at ease right now about the success of the program?
I would say off the bat of the success, I would say January 22nd, 2025, we just had three people just start an OJT.
Oh, wow.
And it's going well. The employer is happy. The participant is happy. And we're involved in it. That's the other piece there. The case manager is there. It's not just dropping off someone and saying, okay, I'll see you once the program is over. Yeah. You're going to get, not only a good participant, but that participant is also going to have a case manager there for supportive services. Whether it be help for transportation, help with making sure childcare is set up. So I would say that just having that just happen with those three OJTs, just seeing the success of it and the fact that the whole process is streamlined and it's ready to go for employers. So,
and I just thought of this. Any specific industries or businesses you're looking for? It's not, I'm assuming, not like a fast food entry-level position or I mean, what are you looking for?
Well, we have a wide range of job seekers. We have people come in all the way from GED to individuals with their master's. So it just depends on the need of the employer.
Okay.
But we are in our area, we're focusing on IT. That is the one industry that it's popular. We have a lot of individuals that are interested. We have a lot of individuals that are training, but it's just making that connection.
Yeah. Growth industry for sure.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And I know I told you we would talk about contact stuff at the end, but while we're on the businesses, if some business is listening right now, is there a webpage they can go to or maybe an email address they can email you to learn more and get started?
Yes. So if you're an employer and you're interested in finding out more information, you can go to our webpage, which is fairfaxcounty.gov, and you would search employment and training. and that will pull up our page and we'll have all of our information. Any job fairs we have coming up, it will all be listed there. Or you can email us at dfsvcwannandale@fairfaxcounty.gov. Again, that's dfsvcwannandale@fairfaxcounty.gov. And you can email the questions and we'll respond back.
Okay. Well, hopefully you get some emails.
Yeah, hope so.
All right. We're on the County Conversation Podcast, and we're talking with Kellen Graves. He is the Employment Engagement Team Supervisor with the Public Assistant and Employment Services Program within the Department of Family Services. We've been spending the last few minutes talking about the employer side, but you also work with the employee side or the job seeker. So give me the broad level, 30,000 foot view of how you work with job seekers.
Well, we have several touch points when it comes to reaching out to the job seekers in our area. We have employment centers, like I said, that are throughout the region, where we serve anywhere from 20 to 30,000 job seekers annually through our employment centers. And again, like I said, we have a wide range of individuals. We have some individuals coming there who just lost their job, whether it be through COVID or trying to change their career field. We have individuals just graduated from George Mason or Nova, and they come in there and they need help with getting started in their career paths. So a wide range of individuals come that way. We also have employment programs where individuals will receive a case manager where they get more intensive services, an actual case manager to work with them to help, again, put together their resume, go over the mock interviewing, work on the soft skills, and get them prepared. So several ways to reach out to job seekers and individuals coming to our employment centers or be a part of one of our employment programs.
And you mentioned the, what'd you call them, a mentor or a case manager?
Case manager.
Case
yes.
manager. What are some of the specific things they do with the job seeker?
So the first thing is putting together, having the individual complete a career assessment, right? It's trying to figure out where are we at now with your skills and then how we can match those skills up with the current job market and what's out there. So that's the first step. After that is making sure the individual has a resume. A lot of times resume, they have something, but it needs a little tweaking. So that's where the case manager will work with them on that. And also in our employment centers, even if you're not in a program, but you need help with your resume, you're able to go to the website that I gave you guys earlier, which is the fairfaxcounty.gov and search employment and training. And you can make an appointment to actually come to our centers and get help with a resume. So regardless if you're in a part of a program or not, you can get assistance from our staff that way.
Resume writing, interview assistance. Have you found, I'm sure both are equally as popular, and maybe there's another aspect of this that I'm not even aware to ask, but they're all necessary skills for people in the job market. But is one more popular than the other with as far as getting a request? Is it, I need help with resume writing, or is it, you know, people say, I need to figure out how to interview or something like that, or is it kind of 50-50 equal the request, I guess, need for assistance?
I would say the crowd favorite would be the mock interviewing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Especially since COVID, how that changed the whole interviewing process with virtual aspect coming. A lot of people were confused with how do I do a virtual interview? How does that look? Is it different than actually doing it in person? So we definitely saw a huge pickup of individuals that wanted assistance with the mock interviewing. And although we're moving out of the COVID era and getting back into in-person, it's still, I think that break off, it threw people off for a loop. And it's just letting them know or giving that assurance that, yes, you should answer it this way, or no, you probably shouldn't say that. So, and in most cases, the individuals know what they should say or shouldn't say, but it's just giving them that extra confidence to say, I kind of had an idea, but I just wanted to get a second opinion on it.
Right, right. So, any other lessons learned from the COVID era, which hopefully we don't return to, but, you know, speaking of that, the virtual interviews, et cetera.
I would say what I always tell people is to treat it the same way as an in-person, as virtual, as far as you being your professional or your professionalism. For some reason, I think individuals felt like, oh, because I was doing it from home, it didn't need to be as professional, or I could be a little more laid back.
Right.
So just reminding them, regardless if it's virtual or in person, this is your first impression and you need to make sure it's a good one.
Right.
And making sure that the TV is not going on in the background,
right.
The kids aren't running around.
Right, right.
You'd be surprised. But I would say that is just making sure that they approach the virtual just as professional as they would in person.
Get dressed up, put on your tie or your pretty dress or whatever, professional clothes, et cetera. Yeah.
Yes.
Before we run out of time, how many clients are we talking about serving here, either from the employment side or the job seeker side? Any numbers you're able to share?
As many employers as we can serve.
Open challenge there, folks. Let them help you.
Exactly. We haven't reached that problem where we felt like we've tapped out all of our employers. Right. So once we get there, we'll have another podcast and maybe we'll slow it down.
But okay.
Right now, it's open game.
Okay. Yeah. And from the job seeker side, the people you're trying to help,
again,
any numbers?
It's wide open. Definitely seeing a lot of people trying to change their career fields. Again, because of COVID, I think a lot of people have gotten out of the service industry, trying to look more remote jobs, more IT positions. So definitely that shift.
You mentioned the IT industry. Any other local shifts in the labor market locally that are kind of driving factor to your programs and services?
Well, the healthcare field, again, because of the COVID, and a lot of individuals got out of the healthcare field, they have a lot of positions that they need to fill. So just making sure, us trying to get that information out to the job seekers to say, hey, this is what the labor market is showing. This is what they're paying in the healthcare industry. And these are the certifications that are available, and trying to attract those individuals back into the healthcare field. So that's what we're working with Fairfax County, Inova, with getting young people, especially CNAs, registered nurses. There's definitely a need for that.
You mentioned Inova. I'm sure there's other partnerships. It's not like your agency can do this all by itself, but yes. Talk to me about the partnerships within the community that help you all perform this mission.
We couldn't do anything without them. They play a huge role, especially a lot of the grants that are out there through certain agencies that we partner with. Fairfax County Economic Development, Fairfax County Public Schools, George Mason, NCS, and One Fairfax. We work with them through several programs and pilot programs that we have. One of the big ones we have is our Summer I program, which is the youth initiative to get individuals that are in high school or aging out of high school, get them exposed to different career fields.
Summer I, that's an I or I-E-Y-E? Summer.
Yes, it's Summer E-Y-E.
Okay, Summer yes. I, okay. And that's an interesting name. What does that mean? Where did it come from? I mean, if you don't know, that's fine, but it's just kind of a curious name.
Well, it's...
We've got our eye on summer, and we're going to try to help you.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
We got eye on employment for the summer.
There you go. I like that. All right. Talked about collaborations and partnerships. Any future developments, any future plans? What can we look forward to from the Public Assistance and Employment Services Program in the next year, the next 5 years, looking ahead?
Expect to see our name and branding all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Again, that's one of our big initiatives for 2025, is to make sure that we're getting exposure. We've gone through a whole rebranding. We used to be identified as the business services team. And we recently changed it to the employment engagement team.
Okay.
So we're coming up with all of our flyers, and you'll see them all over the place. So just expect to see us. I don't want us to be known as the best kept secret in our area anymore.
Okay. All right. We'll point them to this podcast and get the word out there. So if you're listening and you're an employer or a job seeker and you happen to see something with business services on it, just know that it's now the employment engagement team, but it's still the same programs and services.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And as we kind of wrap up here, give me the broad picture again, purpose, reason for your program being existence is?
Purpose and reason is for economic mobility, which is, like I said, for the constituents of our Northern Virginia region to help them get to a better spot where they're self-sufficient and can take care of their family. Until we meet that need and there's no longer individuals that are struggling finding employment, we will always be in business until that happens. And that's a major point of emphasis on us, is helping those individuals, but also the other side, which is the employment, which is attracting employers to our region, and not only attracting, but keeping, retaining. Mm-hmm. A lot of the programs that we offer where we do the reimbursement, it's under the goal of helping those small businesses so they can stay afloat and help grow and stay in the area versus going out of business. So again, it's helping job seekers in our Northern Virginia region and employers thrive and make those connections.
Well, unfortunately, I think you have job security. So
unfortunately,
that's either good or bad. Yeah, exactly. I promised I would make sure to myself, and I told you that I would let you give the contact information before we wrapped up. So again, website, and if there's specific email addresses, maybe for the employers, is that different than the job seekers as well? So tell us how to contact you.
Yep. So everything is all on the same page. We made it easy. So whether you be a job seeker or an employer, if you could go to our website, which is fairfaxcounty.gov, and then search employment and training, and our page will come up. And whether you're a job seeker or an employer, it'll direct you where you need to click. Or if you just want to send us a question, you can email us at dfsvcwannandale@fairfaxcounty.gov. Again, that email address is dfsvcwannandale@fairfaxcounty.gov, and someone will respond back to your question.
All right. Awesome. Good conversation, Kellen. Thank you for bringing this information to us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, Jim.
And I hope we're able to put you out of business.
That's the goal.
All right. Thanks to Kellen for being here. Thanks to you for listening. That is going to do it, unfortunately, for the time we have with you today for the County Conversation Podcast. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.